Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see a Jew.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Are you ready for season 3 of Discography? Yeah! We're jumping into the deep end of The Who. Not only will we go through every Studio Who album in great detail, but their story is often told between albums, so we'll be touching on non-album singles, the solo works of Keith Moon, John Entwistle, Roger Daltrey, and Pete Townsend, and some of the events that would make a record begin as a concept and land as something that would universally change the world. Discography returns to Consequence Podcast Network in January of 2019. Until then, be lucky.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. So this is the part where I would tell you, hey, if you're not a subscriber to the series already, please do hit that subscribe button before we get started right here. You can subscribe anywhere that you can get anything in the world of the internet. That includes podcast land, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe on Spotify and YouTube as well, anywhere that you're listening from right now. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Fontaines D.C., I'll be talking with Carlos O'Connell, founding guitarist, about their debut album, Doggerel, and how so much of it is steeped in a sense of place. It's, in a way, almost like a love letter to Dublin, but as I project on him, it sounds like, you know, it's also an album about trying to save Dublin from itself. He'll talk about exactly what that means. We'll also get some history on the band. They met back in college, got together as a rock and roll band, and found their taste changing very quickly. And as we hear now, they've got a great knack of marrying poetry and post-punk. We'll hear about making the video to Big, which stars a kid in place of the band, a little backstory on one of my favorite songs of the year, Boys in the Better Land, and some of their influences. There are two bands he puts together that I wouldn't have exactly have guessed. Have fun with this one. It's Kyle Meredith with Fontaines DC.
Hi, man. How are you?
I got to tell you, this record, it's one of the most exciting records that I have heard at least this year, and maybe even longer than that. And I think you're getting those accolades a lot. Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
I know, especially over here, you know, a lot of us are still, you know, figuring out who you all are and everything. The story goes that you all met, like most of you all met while in school, right?
Yeah, we all met in college. Yeah, that's it. That's right. We're all from different parts, and we went to Dublin. And met in college. Yeah, it was a music college, kind of like.
I was thinking, like, in an age where it feels like such an institution pumps out soundalikes for competition shows. I don't know, did you all ever feel like that was being forced on you to take music in a certain direction from what you were learning?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like, it was like, you know, is anything, like, it's a, what is a degree in music, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, how can you, like, really, like, you can study music, you can't really teach it, though. And it's just, like, I guess there was a lot of things that were trying to, like, you know, we were, like, lectures and different modules, you'd have to, like, do all these things that we just rejected, you know, and it was a way, it kind of, like, the perspective was almost that, like, music is better if it's complex and, you know, all this kind of stuff and all this kind of, like, theoretical analysis of, you know, lyrical content and content and stuff like that that we just didn't really agree with, you know. So I think that really just, you know, we reacted against that by turning to simpler kind of music that is actually good, which is rock and roll, you know, and kind of like try to ignore all the other stuff that, just to be honest, was just pretentious bullshit.
How long did it take for you all then to find the sound, for the sound to come together? I mean, it sounds so fully realized.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the start of it was very much a kind of rock and roll that was like Buddy Holly and Ramones. And we really did milk that. And we wrote a lot of songs and the same chords and all this kind of stuff. We were just playing rock and roll, you know. We were just a straight-up rock and roll band. And I guess it gets to a point when you do that you get a bit bored of the simpler form, and then you start pushing those boundaries, but like, because you've done it so much, you can't ignore everything you've learned from it, you know. So the rock and roll element, I think, is still there, but it's just kind of like sonically things are pushed.
One of the things that a lot of us grab onto, of course, is also the poetic side of the band. Was it ever a challenge to marry that type of lyricism to the music?
I think it came, you know, at the same time when, you know, we were, as I said before, it was, you know, way more rock and roll, way more like, you know, I guess like it was like what we were like really looking at was the idea of a song and its form and stuff, you know, and a melody. And then after a while of doing that, and by having like been writing poetry all together and collectively and made that kind of like the most like exciting part of our lives, I think Graham found a way of putting his lyrics onto a song without having to marry them to a melody the same way that he was doing before, because his lyrics just suddenly became poetry, you know, they didn't need that melody. And that, I think that happened at the same time that we were pushing the musical boundaries and like sonic boundaries as well, you know. It kind of happened that the lyrics lost that chain to melody, and then the music got pushed a bit more to a more experimental, slightly experimental sound, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because a lyricist will tell you a lot of times that you know, lyrics are like poetry, but when you meet a poet, they will say it's very different from writing lyrics, and it is.
Yeah,
it's a hell of a trick to actually make it work, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess it's like, you know, if you're putting poetry to a song, you really like, you're not going to be able to like to have a melody that like makes absolute sense in a song setting, but you, I mean, if you accept that, then you know, you can do it.
Now, a lot of the, you know, lyrics and poetry on this record, I mean, it deals with your sense of place and surroundings. I mean, finding a band that pays such a tribute to where they're from is a bit more rare these days when scenes have sort of disappeared around the world, you know? But Ireland seems like it's very important for you all to talk about right now.
It is, yeah.
Why is that?
I think you have to really, like, you know, I mean, I think you can live two ways. You can live ignoring everything that's going on around you, and you can just actually take it in. And then when you take it in, you're going to realize there's a lot of things around you that are inspiring and that are, like, you know, that will fill you with ambition and that will fill you with love for where you're from. And then there's a lot of things that, you know, you're going to see that are hard to just take in, you know. There's a lot of struggles, you know, there's a lot of struggle around you and anywhere you are. So I think to be able to, like, live in that, like, love for Dublin that we had, you also had to, like, accept what's wrong with it, you know, and you kind of have to, like, on whatever way we do that is, well, we wrote about it, I guess. But yeah, that's, I mean, you know, it's a place we've, like, all just learned a lot in, and we just, like, I guess wanted to not lie about what's around us.
Is it a fair assessment to say that, you know, this is themes of trying to save it from itself?
I mean, in a way, I guess it's like, you know, Dublin has gone through, like, as it seems like every city in the world has gone through it. You know, it's kind of like there's a lot of money being pushed into it. There's, like, you know, a lot of construction going on. There's a lot of gentrification going on. And I mean, prices are just going up and up. And it's just all in Ireland specifically. It just seems like in Dublin, there's this, like, you know, disposable tourism industry that the government seems to, you know, I'm sure it brings a lot of money to the country, but it's just like it's putting the citizens, you know, the people that actually live in Dublin are suddenly, like, not as important as the tourists that come in and spend more money daily than people living there, you know. So a lot of places are being knocked down and hotels are being built, and with all those places being knocked down, there's a lot of, like, I guess, like, venues and, you know, a lot of, like, cultural landmarks that are just disappearing for the sake of this disposable tourism that is just going to have no purpose in a while when all the culture is gone, you know. Yeah, so I mean that's something that's going on, and we just don't want to, you know, it seems almost like the spirit and the personality of the city is being crushed by tourism.
As remembering Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie talking about sort of a similar thing, because of course he's from Seattle, and he started writing about when all the neighborhoods start changing around you, it's almost like you had left for 10 years sometimes when you're gone for 2 weeks, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we like to, you know, we definitely romanticize the city that we live in, which is something that we do. But it is, you know, it is because of those, it is kind of like pretty horrible to see the places disappearing.
The album ends, though, with Dublin City Sky. I mean, is this your all's crack at a sort of a traditional Irish folk song?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, traditional music is something that we all love, you know. And bands like the Dubliners, we love their songs, you know. We just love the music and the lyrics and everything about it, you know. So, I mean, that's any kind of music that we love, we're always going to try and create, because that's what we do. I mean, that's the most important thing we do, I think. And so we just, you know, we write songs like that, and that was one of the songs that was knocking around, and it seemed fitting to put it on the album, and we just had to decide that anything that we write is okay to put on an album, because, you know, it doesn't have to follow any sort of, like, trend or, you know, any sort of sound.
I love it. It's even though it's different from the other songs, it's, you know, one of my favorite tracks out there right now.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
The video for Big, of course, it's great. And to watch that kid, you know, kind of march around the town anyway, in the way that he does. Do you have a sense of what that song means to him? Maybe if it's different than what it means to you all?
You know, I think that he probably, like, there was probably a lot of words that he had to say in that video that he couldn't even pronounce, like, so I think he's probably just taken, I mean, that kind of, like, sense, you know, huge sense of ambition that he's going to do something with his life. I mean, I can't imagine it, you know, someone that young looking at it in any other way than that. But I mean, it's a, you know, it's a song that has, for, you know, it's written for whatever, from whatever point of view, and it says whatever perspective anyone else has on that song, you know. So I mean, what does it mean to you?
I guess I sort of want to see it through his eyes. And maybe that's, you know, the power of a music video right there. Like, I remember the stuff you're talking about. I mean, I'm not an old man by any stretch of the, you know, word, but at the same time, it's sort of an opportunity to feel that moment again where cynicism and realism isn't just weighing you down on a daily basis. Yeah. it sounds horrible.
That's pretty good, yeah. I like that.
And then you were playing Boys in the Better Land here. It's a huge single for us here at WFPK.
Nice.
That was originally a B-side, right? I mean, it was on the album, or going to be on the album, but it wasn't like an automatic A-side for you all.
No, I mean, when we to be honest, it was like we released it, when was it, 2018? Yeah, 2018, and we released it with Checklist Reckless. Boys in Berlin, well, we did a double A-side, but, like, whenever you do double A-side, one song always has more, gets more attention. And to be honest, Boys was the one that was written first of those two. And that was going to be the single we wanted to put out. And then we're trying to find a B-side for it. And then we wrote Checklist Reckless just kind of, like, 5 days before we went into the studio to record Boys. And we loved it, so we were like, oh, let's make it a double A-side. And then what happened is that in that release, everyone seemed to ignore Boys and just latch on to Checklist. So it's kind of like, their songs, I mean, they're just both kind of like, I regard them as the same. It didn't get, I don't think it got as much attention in the first release that we did, like when we released it on our own. Yeah. But it's good to see it now doing its thing.
Getting its second life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think the recording as well, you know, the album recording makes a huge difference. I think it's just a lot more alive, and the other recording, I think, is a bit heavy or something. Not heavy in the sense of, like, heavy metal, but, like, heavy in the sense of weight, and it drags.
It's immediacy. I mean, it's exciting, and that's one of my favorite things about it. It's an exciting song, and not every song reaches that. There's the occasional surf sound in some of these songs. Does that come from anywhere for you all, or is that just coincidental?
Yeah, I mean, we're all huge fans of the Beach Boys. I think the Beach Boys and the Velvet Underground are probably the two main bands.
Not two I'd automatically put together. It's really made for a great little record here. And I can compliment so many songs. I mean, Television Screens become a favorite as well. But it just seems like, I don't know, it doesn't seem like you guys are boxed in by a sound at all, especially when you get a few of those things going on here. Do you get a sense of where you want to go from this? Has your taste already started changing?
We just want to go anywhere. Well, that's what we want, you know. We're just, there's too much to write, you know, and there's too much to love. That why box yourself off? So we wrote a record that we love as it is, and when it was done, we realized this record allows us to go anywhere now, because you can't actually say anything to us if we decided to write a traditional Irish album. Because, I mean, we've given you a bit of that, so I think, we just want to go anywhere with it.
Well, I'm definitely a fan right here from the start, so please keep it coming.
We will do. I mean, that's all we want to do. Yeah. So all we really want to do.
Well, Carlos, thank you so much for taking the time again today. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you for calling.
And we'll see you around there.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thank you very much.
All right, take care.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye. And thanks again to Carlos O'Connell. Fontaines DC, the debut album Doggerel, is out now. Hey, I do hope you'll subscribe to the series before you get out of here. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, please do leave a review and a rating if you can. You can also subscribe on YouTube or Spotify as well. After that, WFPK.org. That's where you'll find me every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern, where you can also find some bonus episodes of this series. ConsequenceOfSound.net has your music and film news. You can also find me at Twitter at Kyle Meredith and Facebook/Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.